Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He's a former NFL scout turned NFL analyst. Matt Williamson with The Bull and the Fox and Jonathan Peterlin here today. Matt, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I am fantastic. How are you guys?
Doing well, Matt. You know, I'm curious. I've always been curious about, you know, what the draft preparation, okay? Like when... You know, we think of it like we go and do our fantasy football drafts, right, which is obviously not anything like a real draft, and we rank, you know, if you make a list of every player that you want to draft in your fantasy football league, and you rank them 1 through 300, whatever it may be. But when a front office puts together a draft board, it's not really like that, right? The guys get put on, like, this guy's a round one talent, round two. I mean, how does that work? Take us inside there a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give you a brief rundown. Is you spend at least a day, you know, working on each position with, let's say you're doing safeties, and you're ranking those one all the way down vertically, you know, just like any other list. You have your defensive backs coach in there, your D coordinator, head coach, of course, all the area scouts. And so you spend a day or two or three or whatever it takes for each position. So you build all those horizontal boards, you know, QBs 1 through 20, and at every respective position. And then you get everybody involved, and you start to build your horizontal board. So is my third safety better than my fifth running back? You know what I mean? So everybody has different grades. You start to see where the patches are that make the most sense for you. So it's not necessarily a third round grade, a fifth round grade. It's who's going to be there when. And you think of an Excel spreadsheet that has a bunch of gaps in it. So there might be top five quarterback, like this year, top five quarterbacks, big gap, and then we get to the other quarterbacks. Right. So, yeah, they're 6, 7, 8, but there's a ton of other positions you would take ahead of them on the horizontal board. So I think that's a good way of thinking about it. And then my year with the Browns, we had a front board that was set up exactly like that, that maybe only had 150, you know, under 200 names on it. And you expect to get every pick from that main board. And then we had a board on the left that we, you know, if we had to dig into it, we would. We'd use that for undrafted free agents. And they were all ranked two by position. You know, the Patriots are historically known for a team that they only have 100 guys on their board.
Interesting. Wow, it's fascinating stuff. We're talking with Matt Williamson. Matt, just to kind of follow up on that, when you're doing that and you're comparing the fifth corner to the third running back, how much does it factor in, you know, position importance, right? Obviously, quarterback's the most important position, and then, you know, however you go down the line. And how do you factor in, if at all, need of the team, right? Like, I always think, well, you got to just take the best guy. Maybe quarterback changes that. I don't know. But so how do you do that in terms of importance of position and need versus best guy?
Well, I think personally the best way to do it is not include quarterbacks, that they're their own beast. If you think there's one that can be a starter for you, you just take them. And obviously need has something to do with that. This is a long discussion to answer that question, because balancing value versus need is difficult. But I don't think it's a coincidence that every time the GMs go to the podium after the first pick, the second pick, oh, we just took the best player available, but it happened to be in a neat position. You know, like,
right.
that's not a coincidence. Rarely do teams just strictly go off their board. But, and I'm sure we'll get to the Clowney signing here in a minute.
Yeah.
I think smart teams excel at setting up their roster that they go into the first day of the draft and they can play with exactly what they have. They don't have to buy a certain position. You know, like the Browns before this Clowney move, I would have almost put in pen that an edge rusher of some sort would have been quite possibly their first-round pick. Now if there's not one there that they don't love, you don't have to go that direction.
All right, we're talking with Matt Williamson. You were just mentioning Clowney there, Matt. What did you think of the signing and how he fits with the Browns?
I have mixed feelings, to be very honest with you. I from what I understand, the contract's about $8 million with some incentives. And I think the incentives are very important here because he's an immense talent. He fits the system well. I think he can thrive with all the attention that Myles Garrett's going to get. But I don't think he's anywhere close to a Myles Garrett-like player. And I think his name value is more than what he actually brings to the table snap after snap. And I think people need to realize he's not an edge bender. He's not Von Miller. I mean, he's an edge setter. He's excellent against the run, and he's very powerful and explosive in a straight line. And overall, he's disruptive, but he's not going to just line up off the edge and whip tackles with speed and burst and suddenness. He's also very versatile in that you can kick him inside, you can move him over the formation, you can stand him up in the A gaps, and you can drop him into coverage. But his injury history is very worrisome. And not to, you know, be too rough on the guy, he takes plays off at a pretty high level.
Really? So, because we've been trying to figure out, you know, really since we've been talking about Clowney, what exactly people don't like if they don't like anything about him. To me, it's simple. The Browns became a better team with him yesterday. He's much better than Tack McKinley. I think we can both agree on that. But you say he takes plays off, like maybe he doesn't necessarily, he's not there 100% of the time.
Right. And that goes back to South Carolina. And you see that with guys that have consistently been the most talented player on the field growing up, that they don't have to work hard snap after snap after snap. And he's kind of the poster boy for that. You would hope that, you know, maybe they keep him in part of a rotation. You know, maybe you get the best snaps out of him. But I think that's a big reason that, what, he's been with four teams now in 2 years, and those other three teams haven't really gone out of their way to keep him.
Is there any chance in your eyes, though, that like if you're Clowney, you got one more opportunity to really cash in, get one of those 4-5 year, $85 million deals? Like, this is it. Because the past couple years, you mentioned Seattle, you mentioned Tennessee. Neither one of those ended particularly well. You know, at some point, he's running out of strikes against him.
He is. And again, he may be Defensive Player of the Year this year. I mean, he is an immensely talented player who just landed in a very good situation for him. He's also got about $85 million in the bank already, you know, being the first overall pick. So he's not exactly hurting. It's a risky move. I mean, I 100% agree. The Browns are definitely better. I thought that was their biggest area of weakness before yesterday. So it's worth the risk. But in general, he's not for me.
We're talking with former NFL scout, NFL analyst Matt Williamson. Matt, in the Browns secondary, let's talk about what they've done there. Because obviously last year they had Denzel Ward and not much else in the secondary. This year they'll have Denzel Ward. They'll have Troy Hill, who they signed from the Rams. Hopefully Greedy Williams. Maybe a high draft pick as well. At safety, they bring in John Johnson from the Rams. Grant Delpit, their second-round pick last year. Hopefully healthy. And they obviously traded for Ronnie Harrison last year. How much better do you think their secondary will be over last year?
Immensely. I think they did some really good things there. The two Rams players they brought in, I'm very high on. I don't think the national media understands how good of players both those guys are. I had really high hopes for Delpit, so that was just unfortunate. I don't know where he's at right now, but I think he's your free safety type.
Harrison is more your strong, you know, pseudo linebacker type. Ward is a true number one corner, and I don't throw that term around very, you know, easily. And we'll see on Greedy. I had some questions about Greedy, but where the Browns got him early in the second round, he's got a lot of upside. So a better pass rush will also help. But, no, I like where they're set up right now immensely more than a year ago.
Matt, what would be your biggest concern about this Browns team? A lot of people really high right now on paper. What would be your biggest concern?
They're really good on paper. And I guess my biggest concern, and it's a lot less now than it was the Odell offseason or any of those type of things. Trust me, I was in that building for a year as a scout, and culture is big. You know, I mean, learning how to win when everyone expects you to win the division. You know, I thought that the cart was ahead of the horse that offseason when they were the Vegas leader to win the North, when the Steelers and Ravens were still a pretty strong team just because they added Odell. And to kind of sum it up, I feel like the front offices in years past, to use the analogy you guys were talking about, were kind of playing fantasy football and just adding pieces, where I feel like this offseason and last offseason, they're building a team and doing it properly.
No doubt. Matt, last thing, when you look at this draft and you look at the end of the first round where the Browns will pick if they don't trade, you know, most people think they'll draft a defensive lineman or a corner. I wouldn't be stunned, contrary to popular belief, if they draft a wide receiver with either Beckham or Landry likely to be gone at the end of this year. What do you think they most likely do, and who do you like in that part of the draft?
I mean, I think an off-ball linebacker would make a lot of sense, Jamin Davis, Zaven Collins. But this is a very analytically driven front office, and they have three safeties they can, you know, play out there well. Maybe they don't value that position very high, you know, that they would rather be really strong in the front and the back, play big nickel a fair amount. I'm not sure the defensive end is off the table. I mean, I love Phillips from Miami, and I think he's the best edge player in this draft. And I penciled him into Cleveland many times before this Clowney deal, and Clowney's only a one-year deal. It's a little early for Christian Barmore, but I think one more defensive tackle would be useful. And I'm not. And your wide receiver call isn't a bad one either. I mean, is Odell long for the world? I mean, a speedster makes some sense, with as much as they run the ball and as much play action as they do, a real threat over the top would be useful.
Matt, we appreciate the time, man. Thanks for joining us.
It was fun. Take care.
You got it. Matt Williamson, former NFL scout, now NFL analyst.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.